You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, God Knows You Completely. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
Is it true that God knows every little thing that happens in the whole world? Is it true that God knows about even every little sparrow that falls to the ground? The popular scientist Carl Sagan says no. The magazine U.S. News and World Report quoted Carl Sagan as saying that the idea that God keeps a record of every sparrow that falls to the ground is ludicrous. However, in these words, Carl Sagan himself is foolish because he is trying to deny a very basic teaching of the Bible. In the Bible, in the Gospel of Matthew, we read, "Are not two sparrows sold for one penny? And yet not one of them," Jesus said, "not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father." Consequently, when it comes to knowing who God is, do we believe a mortal man like Carl Sagan, or do we believe the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ? This Jesus not only died on the cross, but on that same cross when he cried out in victory, "It is finished," Jesus had at that moment defeated all the powers of evil. And then after his death 3 days later, this same Jesus rose again from the dead. This same Jesus is now telling you that God knows everything about you, not in some general way, but God knows everything about you in detail, down to the very hairs of your head. Oh, thank God that we have the blessed assurance that God knows everything about us. God knows our joys. He knows our worries. He knows our insecurities. Yes, God knows our hurts. He even knows about our most private secrets and our most intimate concerns. This is so important in 1995 because, you see, as a consequence of our confused society, with broken families and broken relationships all over the place, it is no surprise that many today wonder if anybody cares about them. As a result of modern technology, every time you turn around, you seem to be called not a name, but a number. And so it is not surprising that so many wonder if anybody even knows who they are and whether they have a name or not just some 3 or 4 or 5 digit number. This empty feeling of lost identity began to make news headlines nearly 20 years ago. In February 1978, Newsweek magazine reported that a man in Minnesota went to court. He requested that his name be changed to a simple 4-digit number. He said this would be much better since he was already being known not as a person, but as a number. According to Newsweek magazine, however, the judge denied the request. The judge said this would only hasten that day in which we will all become lost in faceless numbers. But now, almost 20 years later, it does indeed appear, at least to some, that the faceless number is already here. In fact, most of us are already known as numbers on a variety of application forms, numbers on credit cards, numbers on tax forms, numbers on insurance forms, and numbers, numbers, and more numbers. Oh, what a breath of fresh air, yes. What a feeling of hope to hear directly from the Bible that God does not see you and me as a mere number. God knows every one of us as his own special creation. We have a body, and we also have a soul. In addition, God is not only aware of us, he is aware of everything around us. Not even the smallest piece of gravel slides down Mount Everest without God knowing all about it. The Bible states clearly, every sparrow that falls to the ground, God knows about it. And God even knows about every single hair on your head, my friend. Whenever the devil tempts you to believe that God has forgotten you or that he doesn't really know who you are, then drive away these desperate thoughts by feeding your soul on the strengthening and life-giving Word of God. in your Bible. Mark and read daily such sections as Psalm 139, where David explains the omnipresent love of God when he says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thought from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and art intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, Thou dost know it all. Oh, what a lift in life this war message of God's abiding presence is. For the many of you who are retired or in your golden years, these times, these weeks, these months may be some of your best times. But there are also those times when you wish your children were a little bit closer so that you could see them a little bit more often. You are convinced that this would make life feel like there is at least somebody who cares. In recent years, our society has encouraged children to seek the best paying jobs available, and this often requires children to move to another part of the country, or in some cases, even to another country. And in all the excitement of getting a new job, children often forget their parents. Now, maybe they don't really intend this to happen, but it happens anyway. You gradually grow apart. Your children become more and more involved in their own family, and they forget all about their parents. They may remember you once in a while, but not very often. And so today you, yes, you may be one of those half-forgotten or even totally forgotten parents or grandparents. On those days of discouragement when you feel badly that your family or even close friends have abandoned you, remember, God knows who you are, and He knows where you are, and He knows every concern that is in your heart. God knows every hair of your head. With this blessed assurance from God Himself, sing then with the hymn writer who wrote, God is my comfort and my trust, my hope in life abiding. And to His counsel wise and just, I yield in Him confiding. The very hairs His word declares, upon my head He numbers. By night and day, God is my stay. He never sleeps nor slumbers. God is not only concerned about the hairs of your head, my friend. God is concerned about everything involving you, and especially about the eternal welfare of your soul. When you die, like for any other mortal person, your body will decay. And according to the Bible, when your life is finished on this earth, then your soul will continue on either in heaven or in hell. This, however, need not fill your life with fear. God is a God of love and a God of grace. God is not willing that your soul or anyone else's soul should perish forever. Your loving Heavenly Father desires that you are with Him and He with you, not only in this life, but also for the life to come. Your family and friends may occasionally forget you or even forever abandon you, but God wants to be connected with you, not only in this life, but also for eternity. God not only knows all about you, including even the very hairs of your head, but God wants to establish an eternal connection with you. The Bible beautifully describes God's life-giving connection. In the Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Therefore, if you today feel that you would like to know God, but you feel that you are too unworthy to approach God, don't worry about this. God has already made the first move. God has already taken the first step of love in your direction, not only in talk, but in action. You see, in Jesus Christ, God has taken the initiative to get in touch with you. Even before you could have ever made a move toward God, God loved you. God sent His only Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world to die on the cross for you. And along with the sins of the whole world, your sins were paid for completely by the sin-atoning blood of Christ. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the believers in Rome, wrote this, For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Apostle John writes, By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so then, my friend, when Jesus said that God knows about every sparrow that falls to the ground, and that God knows about every hair on every head of every person, our Savior was then assuring his disciples of his eternal presence. This abiding love of Christ is what is so desperately needed today. Some time ago, Time magazine reported the findings of the United Media Enterprise. This research institute revealed that in many homes, television has now replaced the traditional family relationship. In many homes, nobody is watching the television set, but it is still turned on so that people do not feel lonely. According to the institute, Americans are looking for companionship, and many don't find any. Today, 33 million people are lonely during their spare time. This even happens to famous people. Not long ago, a newspaper told about a world champion figure skater who had everything she could ever imagine, but she was still lonely. In those moments when you and I feel alone and sometimes even abandoned, when we feel part of the 33 million other lonely people in our country, we need then to turn to the Scriptures. We need to listen as God tenderly and lovingly speaks to us from his living Word. Maybe at this moment you are alone, and maybe you are driving in a car, or maybe you are confined to a bed and you don't have access to a Bible. And yet, your heart is very heavy. Your spirit needs a lift. You need a word of love and encouragement from a dear friend. If this is your situation, then you need the kind words of hope from your very best friend. You need words of love from one who will never forsake you. At this hour, let your heart then be lifted, and let your soul be filled with joy as I now read to you one of the most blessed scriptures from God's living word, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. O Lord God, you are the author of life and death. You comfort the lonely, and you console the grieving. Blessed Heavenly Father, without any studies or surveys, you know the many hearts today that need to be lifted. You understand the guilt-tortured consciences that need your gospel of love and forgiveness. Where there is hurting, O Lord, heal it. Where there is emptiness, fill it. Where there is anxiety, remove it. And where there is hate, erase it. Finally, O Lord, bless all the listeners to this program today. By your Spirit, draw them onto yourself. Remove their unrighteousness and all self-righteousness, and replace it instead with the saving righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in the intercessory name of your Son, we have hope, and we pray, Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.